This month we're breaking in our new series called To Be or Not To Be. And we're on a quest this month to improve our decision-making and to accelerate growth. And it's about choices. And it's not just about making the choices that we want. It's about making the choices that God wants. See, we have to recognize that God sees the big picture of our life. And he can see farther and he can see things that we can't see. And we have to trust that when we go to him, he's going to direct us in the direction that's going to lead us to the greatest impact in our lives. See, our lives are filled with choices. What to eat, what to wear, what you believe, what to buy, what career you'll pursue, who you'll marry. And all of these decisions will determine the life that we lead and the life that we live. And we get to decide to be or not to be. Last week, we talked about the power of choice. God has given us the power of choice. He's transferred to us the ability to make the decisions that we want to make. And we saw that we were created in God's image, but we were created to be fruitful. We were created to multiply. We were created to have dominion. We were created to be above and not beneath. We were created to be the head and not the tail. And that's God's plan for your life. That's God's plan for all of our lives. But we saw that through the decisions of Adam and Eve, that every choice carries a consequence. And those consequences can sometimes be lasting ones. But it's the choices that we make daily that make or break us. It's those little things that we don't always even think about. The little choices that we make day after day after day. The Bible says he who's faithful in a little will be faithful in much. And if we show that we're faithful in the little choices day after day after day, God's going to commit more to us because he's going to see that we're trustworthy in the decisions that we make. And this month, we're going to pick three things, three areas. They could be big things, they could be little things, but just three things that we're going to commit to prayer, and we're going to commit to making decisions and choices day after day to lead us to growth in those three areas. Last Wednesday night, Tim showed us how good decisions begin by asking the right question, and that question is, what does God want? And it's by applying that question to our decision-making process, it's so vital to making the types of choices that God intends us to make. I like to use the example of David. Whenever David sought God, he succeeded. Whenever he went to God and said, should I attack? How should I attack? Where should I go? What should I do? Whenever he did that, he saw victory in his life. He saw protection. He saw God's hand at work in his life. It's the times when he didn't seek God that he got himself into trouble. And we need to ask that question, what does God want? And we're here to assist you this month in learning that pattern of making good choices. And this journey is about transformation. This journey is about growth. It's about doing life a better way and doing life together. And this morning, we're breaking bad. Today, we're going to talk about breaking the pattern of bad decisions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you so much that you're always here. Thank you for your presence. God, I thank you for your word. I just pray right now to open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive, and that you implant a lasting impact in us from this word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, you ever find yourself doing things that you don't want to do? Theron, you ever find yourself in that situation? You see the Twinkie box there, and you're thinking, I shouldn't eat that, but I'm going to. Anybody else ever find that self in a situation where you're like, I shouldn't do that, but I'm going to? Well, when you first get saved, your whole life doesn't come into God's word instantly. It happens progressively. It happens little by little. It happens step by step. And if we'll continue to stay focused and keep pressing into Jesus Christ, we'll continue to grow. Your growth is attached to your focus. Your growth is attached to what you put your attention on. And this applies to you whether you've been saved for a day or whether you've been saved for 50 years. You can be saved for 10 years and you continue to focus on Jesus every day for those 10 years and you grow and you grow and you grow. And then you hit that 10-year point and you stop focusing on him. Well, guess what? When you stop your focus, your growth will stop. And furthermore, there's no plateaus in the kingdom of God. When your focus stops and your growth stops, it's going to start going down, 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 down. That's why we have to look at this as not a sprint, but a marathon. God's with us from day one to the last day, and we're going to continue every single day of our lives to focus on him, and that's where our growth comes. You know, when I first got saved, sometimes I would find myself doing things or saying things or putting myself in situations that weren't right, and I would get so frustrated with myself, and I'd say, man, I'm better than this. I'm saved. I shouldn't be acting like this. If Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, why do I keep doing things like this? We hitting home today? We getting real enough today? You know, in every one of us, there's a struggle. There's a battle. It's good versus evil. It's light versus darkness, sin versus righteousness, God versus Satan, Steelers versus Ravens. But the Apostle Paul writes about this same struggle in Romans 7. He says in Romans 7:15, he says, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do." I like what the New Living Translation says on that same verse. It says, "I really don't understand myself. For I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate." Romans 7:19 says, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil that I don't want to do, this I keep on doing." You know, do you ever just read the Bible and marvel at its perfection? That verse was written 2,000 years ago, and it could have been printed in yesterday's paper. The Bible is so perfect. Romans 7:21 says, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law." It's not that I don't want to do right. I want to do the right things. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that's subject to death? And then it goes on and says, "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Isn't that good news today? Can anybody here relate to what Paul is going through? Can you relate to that struggle? I know I can. And Paul's talking about the raging war that goes on 24/7 between our spirit and our flesh. And by nature, our spirit and our flesh are at odds with each other. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41, he said, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The two oppose each other. The spirit's always ready to crack open the Bible. The flesh just wants to go back to bed. The spirit's always ready to pray. The flesh wants to turn on the TV or play Pet Rescue or Submarine Nuke or whatever game Arnold's promoting on TV this week. The spirit's ready to fast. The flesh wants to pig out. The spirit's ready to give. The flesh wants to hold back. The spirit's ready to help others in need. The flesh makes excuses. The spirit is always pointing towards God, while the flesh is always pointing towards self. The flesh is always pointing towards me. See, we're daily surrounded by temptations. And if we don't stay on top of our game, we'll end up serving our flesh instead of following the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it all comes back to choices. It all comes back to decisions. It all comes back to be or not to be. Practical example, how many of you have ever been to a convenience store and the teller accidentally doesn't charge you for something or gives you back too much change? I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, have been through that circumstance. And you have a decision to make at that moment. On one hand, you can say, "Yes, I did it. I got a free fudge round today. The favor of God must be on my life." Or you can say, "Excuse me, miss, you didn't charge me for my fudge round," and you pay her the 50 cents. We all have that decision to make. And this morning, we're going to continue to decide to be or not to be. We're going to identify ways to break the pattern of bad choices, and we're going to identify ways to get in line with God's process of decision making. This morning, we're breaking bad. Number one today, our bad is not a lack of desire, it's a lack of stamina. It's not that we don't have a desire to do right, we want to do what's right. It's just that we don't exercise the stamina to keep doing right. You know, stamina is our enduring energy. It's our strength and resilience, endurance, tenacity. Stamina is staying power. It's determination and grit. It's physical or moral strength to resist illness, fatigue, or hardship. To lack stamina is to lack the strength to choose what is right. And nobody's perfect. Nobody expects you to be perfect. Everybody stumbles sometimes. But if our desire is to grow into the fullness of what God has planned for us, we can't keep stumbling over the same things, church. We can't keep stumbling over the same pitfalls over and over and over again. Israel had a 2-week journey to the promised land, and it took them 40 years to get there. Why? Because they kept stumbling over and over and over again by whining and complaining and doubting God. That's not going to be us, church. We're not going to be like that. See, our born-again spirit desires to live the word of God and do what's pleasing. Our born-again spirit is influenced by the Holy Spirit. Our carnal man, or our flesh nature, on the other hand, our flesh desires to sin. It desires to rebel. It desires to do what feels good. My flesh wants to do what's best for me. And it's influenced by the world, the devil, and the forces of evil constantly attacking it. So we live with this struggle. It pulls us between making good and godly choices or making worldly, short-term, self-gratifying decisions. I like what Galatians 5:17 says. It says the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places." You know, the devil is going to attack you in your flesh. The devil is going to try to get you to focus on the flesh and not the Spirit. So who wins? If this is a battle, a constant battle between the flesh and the Spirit, who's going to win the fight? Well, number two this morning, the mind is the swing vote. Your mind is the swing vote. We're a three-part being. We get that from 1 Thessalonians 5:23, which says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We're a three-part being: spirit, soul, and body. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's in the middle. The spirit and the flesh are tugging at each other. Your mind, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions are right there in the middle. And whichever side the mind rallies with will win. Here's what I mean. If the mind tag teams with the body, we'll serve fleshly desires. If the mind and the flesh team up, will serve the flesh. But if the mind tag teams with the spirit, will serve spiritual desires. Two is always greater than one, and whichever side the mind rallies to will win. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this: "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the spirit, the things of the Spirit," or set their minds on the things of the Spirit. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal or fleshly mind is enmity or separation against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Notice it doesn't say those in the flesh do not please God. It says those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God in the flesh. Why? Because when we're focused on the Spirit, we're focused on Him. When we're focused on the flesh, we're focused on me. We're focused on ourselves. You can't please God when you're focused on yourself. And wherever the mind goes, we go. That's why we need to take authority over our minds. You have the power to take authority over your mind. Now, here's what isn't your fault. You can't control every crazy thought that comes through your brain, because it might not even be your thought. The devil knows your weaknesses. The devil knows how to get you. The devil knows how to put thoughts in your brain. Just because you have a crazy thought, I've had thoughts so crazy I would never share with you in a million years, but that wasn't my thought. You can't control that thought coming in, but here's what you can control. You can control how long it stays there. You can control how much playtime you give it in your brain. See, the longer you let a dangerous thought remain, the more you'll process it. The more you process it, the more you'll meditate on it. The more you meditate on it, the more you'll begin to believe it. And the more you believe it, the more you'll begin to act upon it. So you can't correct any behavior if you're still thinking about the wrong things. If you're trying to lose weight, you can't think about food all day, or you're going to end your day with a date with Ben and Jerry's. You can't focus on food all day and say, I'm going to lose weight. Luke 9:62 says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You can't make a decision for God and have your focus on God and at the same time you're looking back over your shoulder at what you used to have. You can't live in both worlds. You have to choose one and go with it. Another way to put that, you can't push towards the future that God's intended for you if your mind is stuck on the past. Colossians 3:1 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So how do we get there? The mind is the swing vote. How do we get to a place of victory? Because anybody can identify a problem. Show me someone who can identify a solution. Well, number three this morning, the key to breaking bad is planting good. The key to breaking bad is planting good. I have a quote on my wall at home that I like. It says, feed your faith and your fears will starve to death. Feed your faith, your fears will starve to death. Anyone who knows me, you know that fear and anxiety was a big part of my past. But it's only when I started planting good in that area that I saw growth. It's only when I started feeding on faith scriptures, feeding on love scriptures, feeding on authority in Christ scriptures, feeding on walking in love. It's only then that I realized that the devil had no power over me. The devil couldn't stop me from carrying out my mission in Christ. That doesn't mean he can't make the road miserable sometimes, but he couldn't stop me. And as I began planting that good, it started breaking the bad in my life. The key to breaking bad is planting good. Too many Christians want to stay in the baby stage of Christianity. Too many Christians fail to keep their focus and continue to grow, but God wants us to grow. God doesn't want us to stay babies. In the first service, I used the example of my daughter, Catherine, and she's still here. Why don't you come up here again, Katie Bug, so the other people here can see you. Say hi to everybody.
Hi.
This is my Katie Bug. So I like to tell this story. When Catherine was much littler than she is now, we were at an airport and we were waiting to board a plane. And she was just a little more than a baby. And I just remember to our horror, we looked over and there she was licking the arm rails in between the seats at the airport. I don't know about you. I don't know the last. If that has ever been cleaned, I have no idea. And there she was. But that's because she was little. She was baby. Babies like to put things in their mouth. Babies put everything in their mouth. But she's come a long way. We've grown from this. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and let's see what you've learned. Now, if there is garbage laying on the floor, should we put that in our mouth?
No.
Yes, very good. How about if little bits of food fall on the floor, like under the table where the dog can get it, or over like by the trash can, little pieces of food? Should we put that in our mouth?
No.
Good job. How about little bugs? Should we put those in our mouth?
Yes.
No, don't eat bugs. So give Catherine a round of applause. You can go out around there. So she's learned, praise God. But you know, we can't become spiritual giants if we're still doing what babies do. You can't be a spiritual giant if you're still licking handrails at airports, church. We got to come beyond that. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 43, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that word heart in the Greek text means the thoughts or feelings of the mind. Also, by analogy, the middle or the very core of your being. So that's saying out of the abundance of your thoughts, feelings, and core of your being, your mouth will speak. The fruit of our life is always a byproduct of the seed that's been planted. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 35, he said, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. It's what's already in there. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him, what's already in there. You want to know where you're at spiritually? You want to take a self-assessment of where you're at? Listen to yourself talk, because what you truly believe is what's going to come rolling out of your mouth, because what comes rolling out of your mouth is what's received the most playtime in your brain. And I'm not saying that to condemn anyone today. It's just a matter of self-evaluation. You want to change it? It's so easy to change it. Replace your doubts with the Word of God. Replace your fears with the Word of God. Replace your problem with the solution. Feed your faith, and your fears will starve to death. Meditating on a problem has never fixed a single problem in the history of mankind. Meditating on the solution has. The key to breaking bad is planting good. Number four today, a transformed life stems from a transformed mind. A transformed life stems from a transformed mind. Romans 12, 2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How do we break bad? We change the way we think. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates or ponders or mutters or thinks about it day and night. God said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate or ponder or think about it or mutter it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. See, I fully believe that God's desire is to prosper you. God's desire is to increase you. God's desire is to take you places you could have never dreamed of. But sometimes people don't prosper because it would destroy them if they did, because they haven't renewed their mind on the Word of God. And God's not going to give you something that will destroy you. God says, get the word in there first, and then I'll increase you. Get the word in there first, and then I'll take you to those places that you need to go. See, we need to stop letting the world tell us how to live. The world is not the authority on telling us how to make good decisions. We have to stop mindlessly feeding on the garbage of the world like baby birds with their mouths open and their eyes shut. We make the choice to be or not to be. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That doesn't mean we can't enjoy life. That doesn't mean you can't go places and enjoy things. We take our children places and we enjoy them. But the difference is that we know, and we always know, that God is number one. God is first in our life. And when we go those places, we say, thank you, God, for A, creating this place. Thank you, God, for giving us this experience, because we could have never done this without you. And we always keep God first in our lives. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. See, we're in this world, but we're certainly not of this world. We're separate. We're sanctified. We're set apart. A transformed life stems from a transformed mind. Number five this morning. And if you're someone who deals with panic attacks or fear or anxiety, wake up for this section. Number five, we must align our mind with the Word of God. We must align our mind with the Word of God. Philippians 4, 8, and 9 says this, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." Peace in our life, or the lack thereof, is a result of where we put our minds. See, you've never gotten depressed thinking about things that are honorable or right. You've never had a panic attack thinking about things that are pure or lovely or admirable or excellent or worthy of praise. You've never done anything dishonorable while focusing on the honorable. You've never been wrong while focusing on what's right. You've never fallen into sin while following what is pure. You've never been ugly while focusing on the lovely. You've never had an anxiety attack while meditating on praise. You've never lost faith while walking in love. And this scripture is the filter. I like this illustration. Philippians 4:8 is the filter. It filters out the bad. And we need to understand that if it's the Word of God, it can pass through. But if it's not, it can. If that thought lines up with the Word of God, you can take it and act on it. If that thought doesn't line up with the Word of God, it needs to be filtered out because it's not the truth. Thinking what is contrary to the Word of God will hinder your godly future and destiny. You know, the children of Israel were supposed to take possession of the promised land, but they allowed their thoughts to be in contradiction with God's Word. God said, go in and possess the land. And they chose not to align with God. And the result was it took them 40 years to make an 11-day journey. 40 years. And lastly, this morning, number six, let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." We have the mind of Christ. When you're born again and you give your life to Jesus Christ and you're filled with His Holy Spirit and you're filled with His purpose and power, you have the mind of Christ. You can begin to think in line with the Word of God. We need to make that a daily declaration over our lives, saying, "Father, I thank you that today I have the mind of Christ. So I fully expect to see things like Jesus sees them and make decisions the same way that Jesus would." So what does it look like? What does a transformed life look like? How do we get to that place? Well, first is we got to put the Word of God in here. We got to put the Word in of God, not just a little bit, but a lot every day. That's why Josh and Marcia came up with the five. The five wasn't just a one-time thing. It wasn't just a passing thing. This is how to live. This is how to live your life every day, reading and praying. Once a month, we're fasting. We're giving. Serving is so important. Find a way to serve. Find a way to serve other people. Why? Because when you're serving others, you're not serving yourself. When you're serving others, you're walking in love. You're not walking according to yourself. And serving is so important. Whether you do it here at the church or out someplace else, find a way to serve other people. Be faithful in your attendance at Victory Church. You know your life is better when you're here. You know when you're here Wednesday and Sunday, things are going better. And you say, "Oh, John, you have to say that because you're on the payroll." That's not true. I wasn't on the payroll for most of the time that I've been here at this church. I started off in a chair hearing the sermons week after week and month after month. And I just got so excited by the vision of this place. I love this place. I love the vision of it. I love how many people it helps. And it just kept growing. And that desire just kept growing and growing until I just had to be here. The Bible says when you find something of such great value, you'll sell everything just to have it. And this place is my pearl, man. I sold everything to be here at this this place because this is my place of maximum impact. And for many of you, this is your place of maximum impact. And we give God the glory for that this morning. Amen. Listen to the sermons. Listen to them again and again. They're anointed. Pastor Josh, there's such a vast collection of subjects. I was just thinking the other day, I don't think there's a single life area that he hasn't preached on that we don't have on recording somewhere. Listen to them on the app. When people call me for counseling, I'll talk to them on the phone and I'll give them some good godly advice and I'll give them some scriptures that could help. And then while I'm on the phone with them, I'll go on the website and find five sermons that they should listen to. And I'll say, do you have the app? Here's how you can get it. Do you have access to the website? Here's where you go. And listen to these sermons, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And if you still have a problem after that, call me back. You know they don't call back. Because when they hear those sermons and they get the word of God put in there, I get so many emails and people coming up to me at church and say, man, that really helped me. We'll be listening to these messages. You know, our bookstore is filled with great resources. Josh and Marcia have approved and selected for you to grow. And they're out there. And just so you know, our bookstore does not turn a profit. Our bookstore has been in the red every year that we've had it. We don't have any markup on our products. We sell them to you at the price that we get them. And we do that because we know that they're going to help you. But most of all, let's live what we learn. Let's overdose on the things of God and starve our flesh. Stand with me this morning. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like I said earlier, meditating on a problem has never fixed a single problem in the history of mankind. Meditating on the solution has. Sin is a problem. Death is a problem. If you wake up in the morning and you don't even know why you should get out of bed that day, it's a problem. If you take a breath and you say, I don't even know why I should be breathing anymore. That's a problem. But God provided the solution. And that solution is life and its purpose. And it can only come through Jesus Christ. And if you'll set your heart on Him, that's what you'll get. You'll get life. You'll get purpose. You'll get a reason to wake up every day. You'll be excited about life because you know that you'll be making a difference and you'll know that your life matters and that can only come through Jesus Christ. And we never want to let an opportunity go by at Victory Church without offering you the opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. And with all heads bowed, with all eyes closed, if that's you today and you say, you know, John, I'm ready. I feel that tug on my heart. I'm ready to make Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. On the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand, not so I can signal you out, just so I know who we're praying with today. This is not a decision between you and I. It's a decision between you and God. And if you're ready today to make that choice on the count of three, just slip up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, sir. We see that hand. Just where you're at, slip up your hand where we can see it.